From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
Welcome back to our podcast. It is your weekly common sense touchstone. I guess that's the way we should sell it, because that's what it is. People keep telling me when they listen to Dale Carter's America, it's like, my God, you guys are saying common sense stuff. Unfortunately, it's not very common. That's why we're here. And if you'll spread the word, we would appreciate it as our audience continues to grow. Kurt Wheeler is with me. Kurt, tell them how they can be part of Dale Carter's America, the podcast.
Hi, I'm Kurt. You can subscribe on YouTube to watch the video podcast, which you're definitely going to want to check out today because we have some very special stuff planned for you. Also Rumble for the video podcast. And then you can find the audio only on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe there. And then also make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Facebook, we're really active. We you know, post a lot of things, get in the comments, get people upset, you know, all that good stuff. And join in, tell your friends, and we appreciate everyone, every single one of you for watching and subscribing and commenting. The comments really help us out too, so we really appreciate every single one of you for listening every week, and keep it up.
Okay. You know, one of my dear friends brought us our special guest today, C.J. Garten, who you're going to hear, and you can see behind me his album. He's really a great singer, and he's got an incredible story, and he's going to be with us before you know it. And this friend of mine owns a business in Blue Springs in Parkfield, and he said, how do I sponsor this podcast thing? And I said, you know, I've never really reached out to try and sell it. They just keep coming to me, like my friend Bob Watson. I mean, he was among the very first who said, I love what you guys are doing. How can I be involved in it? And Bob Watson is with us. He is our State Farm agent in Blue Springs, 816-229-7878. He is my State Farm agent at 7th and Main in Blue Springs, but he is licensed in both Missouri and Kansas. Auto, home, life, get a quote. You see all the cute commercials out there with Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, and now Coach Andy Reid's in the commercials too. You need the agent, and the agent with a team that's going to be there when stuff starts to fall apart, you know, when something happens to your house or, God forbid, you're in a wreck, you need people who speak your language. Can I say that? 816-229-7878. Get a quote. Surprisingly great rates at State Farm, and a team on your side led by our good friend Bob Watson. You know, another one of our sponsors, Jim Dingman, actually was the first sponsor of the podcast. He has two of the Funhouse Pizza locations, Lee's Summit on 50 Highway and in Blue Springs on 7 Highway. We are going to be live at the Lee's Summit location on 50 Highway on October 17th. This is going to be a big, big deal here. Now, somebody asked me, you know, you can put up something like this, Kurt, and you always get things like, well, what's got to be Truman County? That's just what we're calling it. It's the working title. But here's the bottom line. The eastern suburbs, really, that comes all the way around to the south part of what is Jackson County, we're pissed. And what we need for you to do is bring your grievances. We're going to talk to you. We're going to put a microphone in front of you and let you tell the horror stories of living in Jackson County, because they're out there. Taxes, crime, corruption, the assumption that we're going to put up $1 billion so the Royals can move out of Kauffman Stadium into a downtown stadium. They don't share our values in Kansas City, and it's time for us to leave. And what we're proposing to do is take the suburbs and set up our own county. Now, it doesn't have to be Truman County. I just came up with that name because Harry Truman happens to be buried in what would be the county that we're left with when we leave. So Jeff Coleman, state representative out of Grain Valley, is helping me with this. Jeff is going to be there on October 17th. We need a big crowd. You know, we've been talking about this for a while now, and on my Facebook page, Kurt, people are like, what can I do? What can I do? Well, this is something that you can do. We're going to get media to cover this outside of us, and I think that it's if we put up a big showing here and make a whole hell of a lot of noise, we're going to get, well, number one, we're going to get the minimum required signatures to present to the Jackson County Legislature to put it on the ballot. But if we get tens of thousands of signatures, not just 100, you know, they will put it on the ballot. They'll have to put it on the ballot. And then we go vote. And that's our Declaration of Independence. People have said, well, what about this? What about that? What are all the details? Well, you know, we need to declare our independence first. That's what the colonists did. And then they worked out the details afterwards. And there will be a lot of detail work, but one step at a time. And the next step here is to show up Tuesday, October 17th at Funhouse Pizza in Lee's Summit on 50 Highway and bring your grievances. Let them know that you won't take this anymore. Blue Springs has joined the lawsuit now with Independence and Lee's Summit over the tax assessment issue. That's just one thing here. You know, the statue vote is going to be on the ballot again. Really? Don't they have anything better to do? Crime is continuing. We have a prosecutor who won't prosecute. Again, my feeling is they don't share our values. It's time for us to leave. And another step along that way is a big crowd showing up on October 17th at Funhouse Pizza in Lee's Summit on 50 Highway. We'll get back to Blue Springs. We'll do something again on the 7 Highway location. But Jim Dingman is looking for a big crowd there in Lee's Summit on October 17th. We'll get together starting about 5, and the broadcast will start at about 6 o'clock.
And I would say, too, you know, in addition, you know, we talked about following us on Facebook and everything. Make sure if you do follow us on Facebook. Well, if you don't, make sure you go follow us. But if you do, go ahead and RSVP to the event on Facebook. It's pinned at the top of our page. This way we can have an idea of how many people are coming. Will help us out.
Okay. So we want to thank another one of our sponsors, Medicare Simplified KC, and Kirk Doris. We got to get his team there on October 17th as well, because something very important is happening. The Medicare open enrollment is happening between October 15th and December 7th. And Kirk and his team, they can help you. They can help navigate everything you need to know about Medicare. And as you're approaching the age of 65, maybe you've got a relative who's approaching 65, let Kirk and his partner, Lori Hocker, let them navigate this for you, because there are so many different extensions to this. It is so confusing. I mean, it comes from the government. I mean, that you just know it's going to be confusing. And there are holes in the system. They can help you fill those. Let them help you. You can reach them at 816-701-6661. You can find them on the web at MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. But Kirk told me that an important period is coming up, the Medicare open enrollment from October 15th to December 7th. We're going to have him out there in Lee's Summit to explain why that is so important. But again, if you've got a relative who's approaching 65, or you are, and you've got all these letters and plans and parts coming at you, these are the folks who can help you navigate MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. Are you ready for our special guest?
Yes.
Bring it. Well, we like to have entertaining guests here on the podcast as well. We have a special guest in studio, C.J. Garton, joining us. C.J., welcome to Dale Carter's America.
I'm glad to be here, my friend.
Man, you got the pipes. There's no question about that. And you brought a guest with you, your lovely wife.
I did, Miss Laura Lee. She puts up with me about half the time.
Now, it's an interesting connection, because I know you've been kicking around Nashville for a while, and you've got a very interesting backstory, which we're going to get into here in a second. But how you came to me is through my friend Marty Myers, who I've known for, gosh, almost 30 years. What an interesting connection, because Marty moved from the Kansas City area down to Tennessee, and I guess that's where he met you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Marty said he was looking for new family in this area anyways, and he said he's had a lot of good folks back there, and I told him I grew up in Oklahoma. So I think just because we were kind of connected, we had decided to become pretty good buddies, and he likes to hunt and fish, and I like to hunt and fish, so we were out morel hunting, and next thing you know, we're best buddies.
Yeah, you know what Marty does for a living, right?
Yeah,
he's,
I do.
He's an undertaker.
It's stiff competition.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you got to have an official undertaker, and he's been my official undertaker for a long time. And he has promised me that when the time is right, you know, he'll shave a good 20 pounds off, and I'm going to look fantastic. So I'm holding him to that. Hopefully not anytime soon, but I'm definitely holding him to that.
Are they going to freeze me?
Is that how you're going to go?
With whiskey in my hand.
You're a veteran of our country, so thank you for your service.
Well, thank you, and I'd like to thank all the other veterans and active duty out there, guys, for everything you all do.
It's a big part of Dale Carter's America is thanking our veterans. What did you do in the service?
I was a EWO non-acoustic search and rescue. I did a Navy search and rescue, and submarine surveillance.
Okay, very good. We appreciate your service to the country. And in addition to everything you've done here, trying to break through as an artist and all that, you have a connection to the Taylor Sheridan world and the whole 1883. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, it was really funny because back around 2015, 2016, I think Yellowstone was just now coming out, and we really liked the show, but I wrote a song called 1883 based on our cattle ranch. We founded our ranch during the Oklahoma Land Run, and I'm a sixth-generation rancher, which is now my kids are seventh generation, and we've managed to maintain that. But our story was one about a story my grandpa used to tell me about his grandpa and them when they founded it. And they really liked that song. Taylor found that song on YouTube. Reached out to our guys at Death Before Pop Country and reached out to us and really want to know more about it and hear some more music. And we were the inspiration to 1883, the prequel to Yellowstone.
Very cool. You kind of look a little like Tim McGraw. You could have played the role.
Well, I tell you what, I sure would have taken it if they'd have given it to me.
Is there going to be more connections between you and Taylor Sheridan?
Well, I really hope so. I love that Texas. I really like what he's doing for country music. You know, I feel like TV is a big influence on what's trending, what's to come, and my heart's always been the good old classic country songs.
Right.
And with what he's done for artists like Lainey Wilson and all the people that have been on Yellowstone, the music you hear, my buddy Waddy Morgan, you know, it's just it's something that's necessary, I think. We really want our country back in a lot of ways, and we want our country music to be involved with it, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, KFKF, the station I work for, we're all about traditional country and not the pop stuff, so you would definitely fit in well there. And you know, if you were on like Yellowstone or something like that, you could actually, I mean, you've done this, I mean, you wouldn't be a poser, you could actually be out there ranching.
Yeah, we're cowboys. I mean, we're branding, cutting cattle, we're doing all the work. Every time I get to the ranch, there's always a million things to have to do. And then if we can deer hunt, and we can hide from Grandpa.
You know, it's interesting because we were talking about this a little bit before about the pathway to get on the radio, because I've been doing this for a minute or two. And back in the old days, you know, you would go to Nashville, camp out in your car or whatever you were going to do. You'd play Tootsie's Orchid Lounge or the Bluebird. You know, you'd try and get in there and get in front of some people, and maybe a record executive would come find you and sign you, and then, you know, you would be on your path. It's changed quite a bit.
It really has. For me, I moved to town. They really love my voice. They really love my writing. I've written a lot of songs. I've had cuts by Tanya Tucker, David Allan Coe, you know, Daryl Singletary, The Voice, American Idol. A lot of that was an opportunity, but it let me know that, you know, my writing was there. But country music had taken basically a transition where what was trending wasn't really that old school country. It was having kind of a new wave. And I always tell people, only put pop in my whiskey, not my country. So when the labels and I were working together, they just were afraid to release me. They kept telling me I was too country for country music, and I sure didn't understand what that meant at all.
Yeah.
And so I stuck to my guns, and that's why I think now everything's such a, you know, it's like evolution and war, fashion.
Right.
Country's coming back in a big way.
Yeah.
We're really, you know, hopefully a part of that and get a chance, and we're really grateful to have the opportunity.
We definitely feel that on our podcast. One of our sponsors on the podcast is Clay Como Shooters. They're a great group of folks. They're in Clay Como right there on 69 Highway. They train folks to shoot. They're very much behind the Second Amendment, as are we. Huge line of firearms there. They've got a range, membership, training, law enforcement, pistols, rifles, ammo, accessories, the whole nine yards. And that's why when Marty sent me your stuff and I was listening to some of the songs, one of the songs that really jumped out at me was The Gun. Because, you know, we fight on our podcast all the time against these idiotic new laws that they try and come out with that only legal gun owners would try and follow, not the criminals.
Exactly.
And then they say, well, we've got to do something. And then your song, The Gun, I just thought, I mean, it said everything that I believe.
Well, and I'm really grateful for that, because I've met a lot of people who have sensibilities that they even grew up in households that they've never had guns and never hunted. But when they heard that song, they actually respected that. They said, I really never took the time to think of it that way. And they said, your song was a intellectual way to really deliver something that's an issue that people probably need to hear. Because at the end of the day, an inanimate object is an inanimate object.
Right.
We have to take it and we have to do something with it. you know. And so for me, you know, that's how we founded our country. That's how we've been able to survive. That's how we were able to, you know, basically do everything we're doing here as an America, is have the, have guns and have opportunity. And it's all about education, and that's proper education, and how to have an open conversation that makes sense to everybody.
Right.
And I mean, I grew up, you know, hunting and fishing. That's how we kept food on the table for our family.
Yeah.
If we didn't hunt deer hunt, we didn't eat.
Well, you know, one of the things, I don't know if you follow what happens in politics or not, but the Biden administration was going to withhold funding to schools if they had a hunting and or archery club in the school. And there was such a backlash, even from Democrats in rural districts, that they passed a law making it okay to fund that. And the president did an about face, and he actually signed the bill. So they've taken that off the table now. But that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get away from that heritage that we have in America. And it just doesn't make any sense to me. And
no,
we talk about if you commit a crime with a gun, that's another story. It's all about the person who pulls that trigger and why they pulled that trigger. And if we were prosecuting criminals, we'd be fine.
Exactly. And we have to get to the root of the issue, because, see, that song has been such an inspiration. I really feel like that song is so much bigger than us, and what it has to say and what it's already done versus what it's going to do as well.
Yeah.
You know, I really hope the NRA gets the opportunity to boost that thing and really put it forward, so that way the message can be, you know, heard and spoken out there. Samuel Davis is the real Forrest Gump. He's one of my best friends. And he said he sat in his bunk, listened to that song 17 times, and tears in his eyes of pride, because he said how much it spoke to him, and he wants that to be his life song. So whenever they go out and make his, you know, instead of just his fictional Forrest Gump show, his real biography of him and what his life, he wants that to be his life song. And then Waylon Jennings' grandson, Way Jennings, heard it. He said, I got to cut this. So Way cut it, aside from us. So, and then there's another buddy of mine who also cut the song. So I think the song's going to be one of those songs that's timeless. Instead of music for time, it's timeless. It's
all right.
Always conditioned.
Well, let's hear it. We brought you in here to play, let's do it.
A lot of stories about me. Some are good, some are bad. I fought in three wars. I've even made it back. I put food on the table through the harsh winter cold. I even helped a miner protect his hard-earned gold. So I've been hanging over warm-lit fires. I've been abandoned, out in the cold. Yes, I have killed for money and desire. I've been bought, stolen, and sold. If a soldier ever falls behind, I'm left crying out 21 times. Though I'm to blame, Lord, I ain't the one. Always remember, well, I'm just a gun. Yes, man, remember, well, I'm just a gun. Handed down from a father to son. I'm a hero in movies, I'm a villain in some. Even got my own amen, you see. Well, I'm only second to our freedom of speech. If a soldier ever falls behind, I'm left crying out 21 times. Though I'm to blame, Lord, I ain't the one. Always remember, well, I'm just a gun. Yes, sir, remember, well, I'm just a gun. religion, I don't choose sides. If it wasn't for me, there'd be no 4th of July. I can't just choose wrong or right. Leave that in your hands for you to decide. Yes, friends, remember, oh, I'm just a guy. Should always remember, I'm only a guy. Thank you to all our veterans and first responders out there. Proud to be waving that red, white, and blue.
Wow, that is awesome. Amazing. Good stuff there. Yeah.
Thank you.
And I'm sure you've been told many times you sound a lot like Keith Whitley.
I get that a lot. Yeah. I'll tell you what, though, I never get tired of it. That's a man, a legend, one heck of a singer.
No doubt. C.J. Garten is who is with us today on Dale Carter's America. And again, speaking of guns, Clay Como Shooters is ready to help you. They're at 816-452-4867. You can find them on the web at claycomoshooters.com. Folks who have training in this area who can get you trained for self-defense. Nothing wrong with defending our Second Amendment, and that's what we do here on Dale Carter's America. We want you to do one more here, but before we get there, you gave us this wonderful gift here, this double album, which it shifts from... What does it shift from again?
It's a cowboy to an Indian. It tells about both sides of my heritage.
Let me hand this back to you, and you can walk me through
absolutely.
It. And you gave us number 941, which is nice because 94.1 is KFKF. Explain what's on this album here.
Well, this record right here, there was only 1,000 of them made, and it represents both sides of my heritage and my history. And for music, to me, has always been history and knowledge and learning. So I wanted to do everything that where I came from in this record. So it's a lenticular in the front or a hologram. I got the idea from like the old baseball cards when you slide in the base or swing the bat and stuff. And so I put the cowboy in there, and I put Tales of the Old West, other libations to please the palate, because I wanted it to literally be like old snake oil, like, you know, it's
nice.
the verbiage and stuff. In the back, I had the Cherokee Nation chief and Tommy Wildcat, the secretary treasurer for Cherokee Nation Tribes of Oklahoma, translate our album titles from English into Cherokee and even written in Cherokee. In Sequoia language, so like I went crazy as Aglia Nota or Devil of Sedani, and so you're able to speak, you know, Cherokee. Then inside the record, it separates and shows the cowboy and the Indian.
Nice.
And then on the side here, we'll not do it too awful long, but this right here is the cowboy version, and it's real 24 karat gold full centers that you can actually see through. It represents the gold and the, you know, the tribulations of went through as cowboys. And the other one is Native American side, and that side is turquoise. But the cool thing about this record is it glows in the dark. So if you take it outside and get a little sun on it, it'll change from the turquoise to represent the sky and the water and represent the blue. So let me pull this thing out. Yeah. We put a lot of thought and effort into it, and I did a whole lot of research. I kind of wanted to
look at that.
Outdo Jack White. For making a record, so you know, I'm a, you know, country version Jack White over here, and I'm like, no, Jack, you can't do this.
Now, what percent Native American are you?
I'm a quarter Cherokee and
a
Blackfoot, and the rest cowboy.
So. I'm just curious, you know, were you offended by the Washington team being called the Redskins all those years?
No, I actually thought it was really cool. I was offended when they started changing the name to things. I'm like, man, I think we're getting a little too worried about everything. I think we got a lot more addressing issues than the name of a sports team.
Wow.
And now it's, what is it, the Commanders?
Yeah, the Commanders.
That's
after
a
calling
horrible
the Washington
name.
Football team. Yeah.
That's the stupidest name I've ever heard of.
Well, how about the Guardians instead of the Indians?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well,
nice.
No, I take that back. That's the stupidest name I've ever heard of.
Well, we're going to have links up to all of your stuff here on social media, and we appreciate you stopping by and playing for us today. You got one more to leave us with?
Yeah, absolutely. I know we ain't got a lot of time, but I will tell you a quick short story version of how this song came about. I was on a roof tree filling our house. When I called the insurance company, they had a deductible. It was $1,000. I was like, my gosh, I pay you guys a lot of money, and I got to pay you that to replace my roof? Well, how much does it cost to take the roof off? They said $3,000. I said, that sounds perfect. Go ahead and send me two, and I'll do that myself. And so,
and he did.
And I did. So I got up there. Well, the wife and dogs and kids all ran outside, and I'm sitting there looking, and it was just picturesque. I've never really seen that version of looking over as they come down sure. on the roof. And I got, and don't ask me why, but I had a tiny little guitar, and I was in swimming trunks, and I was removing the roof. That was my attire. And so I had this tiny little guitar that I picked up on Marketplace, like a little gut string. And I just thought, if my wife and kids and everybody just loaded everything up and the dogs and just moved out to Mama's house, I wouldn't blame her.
Yeah.
I'm a hard-headed cowboy. So I wrote this song on the roof, and I ran down seriously, honey, I wrote you a love song. It's like, if you ever loaded everything up on your own and you left me, I wouldn't blame you if you did. She goes, yeah, that's what every woman wants to hear. Huh?
That's the love song you might have written for you.
So,
wouldn't but, blame you if you left me.
So now it's on this record, and it's one of her favorite songs.
Nice.
It is my favorite song.
So I come from a long line of hard-headed men. That's right. I can say that I am gonna change. We both know that's a lie. So get out while you can. Take everything we have. Load it up and leave me, honey, right where I am. There's a door and there's a road. Take it where you wanna go. There's more to life than what this is. You not only miss my kiss, may even reminisce. I'll save a little more from this. I wouldn't blame you. Beat it all apart. Even patient enough won't know how much I know. This life ain't for us all. It's a hard road to haul. I'm that kind of cowboy to make life harder on us all. There's a door and there's a road. Take it where you wanna go. There's more to life than what this is. You might only miss my kiss, may even reminisce. I'll save your precious heart from this. Wouldn't blame you if you. Ha!
Very nice. And Laura Lee, thank you so much for joining us today as well. CJ Garten here. Oh, yeah, yeah. We're a small audience in here, but there's a big audience out there that's going to hear this, and they're going to be applauding. And I'm sure my wife would love that song, too. And she would love to come down and morel mushroom hunt with you guys.
Hey, you can threaten me a good time all day. I'm the mushroom whisperer. I don't know why, but my buddy Chris, he goes, man, I've been doing this my whole life. He says, and they just pop out for you. He's like, there's places that you go, there shouldn't even be mushrooms. Yeah. Mushrooms. I'm like, well, I think it's a power of positive drinking.
All right. You know? Well, she's also a friend of Marty Myers, so that'll be the connection there. So
we would love to have you guys. We'll even feed you. I got a tiny little grandma living inside of me. So
He feeds everybody.
Nice. Well, best of luck to you in this career. You're writing all kinds of incredible songs. It's just going to take that one little spark that's going to get you through.
Will, I really appreciate it. At the end of the day, I'm a big believer in power numbers. And at the end, you know, you asked how people do it nowadays. It's word of mouth. It's people streaming the music, playing it to where you can't deny it. Just like Anthony Oliver in that situation.
Sure.
If people stand up for something they love and they play it, that's how the world knows that we're trending. So get out there, follow CJ Garden. And we're real grateful, guys.
All right. We'll pass along those links to you and to your stuff as well. And we appreciate you spending the time with us today. Thank you.
Heck yeah, man. It was fun, brother.
Yeah.
We'll do it all day.
CJ Garten, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to have links up so that you can find him. He puts out a lot of great music. And you're seeing the album behind me here. And we are going to take some of his CDs to the event on October 17th in Lee's Summit. At Funhouse Pizza. We're going to have all kinds of giveaways that night, but that's not the reason to be there. The reason to be there is because you're pissed and you want to declare your independence from Jackson County. So we'll get into all of that. But he's an up-and-comer, and I think you're going to say, wow, I heard him win, and I heard him on Dale Carter's America.
Yeah, and I just want to say something about that, too, because I wasn't on mic when they were in here. But that was just it was a great performance, and it's rare these days to see music that is like raw and authentic, you know, and that it really spoke to me. Like it's clear his background really comes through his music. His personality really comes through his music, and it's performed and written in such a way that is very authentic. So that's something that I really appreciate as a musician as well. And it was great. Really, really excited to check this record out for sure.
All right. Well, back to what we have in front of us here, and that is a Democratic administration and just all of the dysfunction going on in Washington, D.C. I call the next segment Results of More Unforced Errors / Self-Inflicted Wounds. Everything that is going wrong right now, and I was talking to some friends of mine who work at the radio station, and you know, I, I'm a smart ass, and I'm always like punching people's buttons and all that, and we had a story on the wire today about how, you know, it's really hot in the center of the country. And we haven't seen these kinds of temperatures since the 1800s. And I started thinking, well, my gosh, what were we doing to pollute the environment in the 1800s that made it so hot back then? Were we doing anything?
I mean, probably burning cow shit and wood.
I suppose. But again, it just keeps on coming. The dysfunction and the unforced errors and the self-inflicted wounds that are coming out of Washington, D.C., all coming from Biden administration policies. I mean, take the personalities out of it. Take Trump out of it. Take the old man out of it. I mean, take all the personalities out of it and just look at the policies that are happening. Let's talk about the auto strike for a second. Okay, so the auto workers are on strike in Michigan. Joe Biden flies on his 747. What is the carbon footprint of a 747? And that's not the only plane that goes, by the way. They also have the other plane, the cargo plane, that brings his limousine, which is gas-powered as well, and he goes out to the striking workers, okay, to tout EVs, electric vehicles, to striking workers. Now, he's destroying their jobs. Think about this. EVs require less labor, right? It's one of the big issues out there. This is self-inflicted. If we had, and he could end this today. He could go out in front of the microphones and say, look, I've had a change of heart. We're going to have an all-in energy policy, and the best energy wins. Not, you know, we're going to go with solar and wind, and that's the only thing that we're going to go with. All-in energy policy would change the world. But he is so pulled by the left wing of his party that this is where he is. And Sean Fain, who runs the UAW, he's just as bad. He's out there saying, we're fighting against the billionaire class. Really? I mean, that's good old play number two. Somebody's got something you don't have, and that's not fair.
Well, I imagine, I don't know this to be a fact, but it's similar to the Bernie Sanders situation, where Bernie Sanders used to say millionaires and billionaires, and now he just says billionaires, because this guy is probably worth a lot of money. So
yeah,
he's not, you know, he wants to set the bar high enough that he's not included in it.
Well, you had a clip up of Joe Biden with the bullhorn. I think it's not going to be the same speech that George W. Bush gave at the base of what was the World Trade Center, where he said, I hear you, the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon. I mean, that was like a cry to war. What did the old guy say with the bullhorn?
Oh, you want to hear it?
Oh, yeah, why not?
Okay, hold on.
Wall Street didn't build the country. The middle class built the country. And unions built the middle class. That's a fact. So let's keep going. You deserve what you've earned, and you've earned a hell of a lot more than you're getting paid now. Thank you very much.
All right. So there's going to be fewer workers. They're not going to get what they want. I mean, I don't know how long this thing is going to go on. But because the Biden administration has insisted on moving to EVs, which makes absolutely no sense. The Japanese, Kurt, are laughing at us, all right? People like me, who never bought a foreign vehicle, came down to a choice, and with Detroit all in on EVs, I wanted to buy something that I wanted to buy, and guess what? It was a Mazda CX-5 made in Japan. The Japanese get this, that this is a pipe dream, and we're letting politics lead and not the economy. So there's that. Then there's crime, okay? Target closing 9 stores in blue cities. Another unforced error. The result of Dem cities not prosecuting crime. And if you want to see some crime, if you have not seen this video footage, check this out from Philadelphia. Smash and grab video. The chickens are coming home to roost in these cities.
There's a couple different videos that we'll watch here.
This is the one.
Uh-oh.
Listen to her laugh.
Uh-oh. Damn! Damn! That's, oh my God. Free Philly! Free Philly!
Now these are just misunderstood youths, Kurt.
Oh my God, record this! Record this!
She's not outraged until the police show up and actually try and stop the crime.
Yeah.
Then it's like, oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Stop them! Stop them! She's not talking about the looters. She's talking about the cops.
Record this!
It's unbelievable.
Record this!
And now you're even hearing from people in Chicago and Philadelphia that are like, this is crime. These people need to go to jail. It's like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, and we got another one here. This one went kind of viral because this lady got arrested because she live streamed the rioting. So here's that. I think it's like sped up a little bit or something. Her voice sounds kind of weird. So this is the version that I could find.
Everybody must eat.
Everybody must eat.
Yeah,
is what she...
Looks like she's eating a lot.
Yeah, well, that's the first thing. She's not having any problem with that. And they're robbing a liquor store.
Because they want to eat.
It's like the last video was a Lululemon. We have Target closing down. We have, you know, people robbing TVs. This is not... It's not necessity.
No.
It's not out of, like, because they're starving. I mean, you can look at obesity, for example, you know, amongst people that are in poverty, obesity statistically is higher. So, I mean, make of that what you will. But
by the way, I saw this young lady's grandmother on the news, and she was just horrified that her granddaughter was involved in all this stuff. Somewhere, family's got to jump in here and say, you know, this is not acceptable behavior.
Yeah. Well, they haven't up to this point, so.
Well, they need to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what else we got?
Everybody must eat.
Yeah, everybody's got to
eat.
So, and you got Target stores closing. And what's going to happen is in these blue cities where they're basically turning criminal justice on its head, you're going to have a whole bunch of empty storefronts, and it's somehow going to be the Republicans' fault. Even though it's happening in blue cities, it's going to be the Republicans' fault.
Yep. But, you know, something's got to be done about it. There was a clip from a Trump speech that went kind of viral the other day, him talking about this. I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Into a store, big department store, and just pillage it. And if you happen to be there when they're there, they'll knock the hell out of you and kill you in some cases. And we will immediately stop all of the pillaging and theft. Very simply, if you rob a store, you can fully expect to be shot as you are leaving that store.
That's pretty harsh.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, you know, there people have been shot for less, and you know, it's self-defense is a right. real thing. I mean, it's not somebody just shooting somebody for no reason. It's, you know, if you can prove that your life is actually being threatened, and, you know, maybe not Lululemon, but some of these other stores, these smaller family-owned stores, I mean, it's their livelihood on the line. It's their store. People are coming in stealing hundreds or thousands of dollars in merchandise. That's coming out of their bottom line,
right?
You know? So I'm not saying just shoot the person because they stole, you know, a bottle of liquor or whatever, but I mean, maybe that would stop it, you know? So yeah.
That would be martial law. I do think there should be consequences for these actions, and where a lot of this shit started was out in California, where they set a level of, hey, you can steal up to $950 without right. any, you know, consequence.
Right.
I mean, that's wrong. And it gets back to the broken windows philosophy. When we stop prosecuting that crime, well, that leads to this crime, that leads to this crime, that leads to this crime. And, you know, people on the left say, well, that's bogus and that's not true, but that's what we're seeing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just, it, like you said, it is consequences. It's a consequence-free environment. These people know that they can just go in there, rob, steal, loot, and very few of them are going to actually go to jail.
Yeah.
You know, they're let out on bail, they're given time served, they're, you know, just not arrested at all. So it's like, if there's real consequences, if you get the shit beaten out of you, if you get shot, then you're not going to do it. You know, people are going to see that and they're going to be like, well, it's not worth it. I'm not doing that.
Well, I'm wearing my Jason Aldean Try That in a Small Town t-shirt. And it's funny because on KFKF, we've been running some billboards in the Kansas City area of different artists and song lyrics and tying it to the radio station, right? And Jason Aldean paid to have that done in Kansas City. And the left-leaning folks back there in the sales department, they were like, oh my gosh, are you sure you want to put up the lyric, Try That in a Small Town? People will get offended. Really?
Well, they're already offended, so.
Yeah, they're already offended. So there you go. So moving on to the government shutdown. Here's another unforced error. I mean, you know, stop spending money. Both sides. Stop the spend, right? Show the debt clock. You got the debt clock up here?
Oh, yeah, I'll pull it up.
Yeah, because these are real numbers here. We are $33 trillion in debt. And that number, if you pull the debt clock up, you're going to see it's going up in real time. Okay? And he keeps talking about how he's turned around the deficit. There's two different things here. There's the debt, which is, you know, the total amount that we owe, and the deficit, which is the shortage after we've paid our bills. Okay? The shortage after now think about it in terms of your own home budget, okay? After you've paid your mortgage and your utilities and groceries and gas and all the things that insurance, all the things that you pay for, are you in the black or are you in the red? I am in the black because I spend less money than I make, and that's a big principle at my house, okay? A lot of folks these days, because of inflation and everything, they're in the red, and they're using their credit card to make up the difference, which is really a problem. So Biden keeps talking about how he's cut down the deficit, yet when I pull up the debt clock, and I see you're struggling pulling that thing up.
Yeah, there's so much on it that it's not loading.
Yeah, but when you pull that up, and you can pull it up, it's usdebtclock.org.
Yeah.
You'll see that the deficit, the deficit is still in the red and still climbing.
Yeah.
What did Biden fix with the Inflation Reduction Act? I'm not seeing it because he's out there touting it. I just don't know where it ends. And, you know, at some point, I keep saying at some point it's got to end, but does it? I mean, we just keep printing money.
It's crazy just to look at this. I mean, I'm sure a lot of you have done this, but you can just look. I mean, it's like, okay, $100,000. $100,000.
On the deficit or the debt?
The debt. $100,000.
Yeah.
Every like 2 seconds.
Yeah, that's our debt, and that's crazy. And we're sinking into debt, and the deficit, just remember that, that's after you've paid your bills, how much money you have left over, and that is a negative almost $2 trillion.
Yep.
And it's growing.
And that's growing by $100,000 about every 8 to 10 seconds.
Yeah. But the good news is the government's going to stay open for another 45 days. It's a short-term patch, and McCarthy's in trouble, I guess. Gates is coming after him, right?
Yeah, Matt Gaetz, we have a clip of that here. He's saying that he wants to, I don't know if it's impeach or just remove him from his speakership.
Vacate the chair, I think, is what the chair.
Yeah. Accomplishing anything here? I mean,
that's not true.
Well, you don't have the votes to remove him.
Well,
so.
By the way, I don't know until we have him. And by the way, I might not have him the first time, but I might have him before the 15th ballot. That's the number of ballots Kevin McCarthy needs.
So are you going to do this every day, like you had suggested? Or are you going to go through this process of voting over and over and over again?
I am relentless, and I will continue to pursue this objective. And if all the American people see is that it is a uniparty that governs them,
he's got weird eyebrows.
The Biden, McCarthy, Jeffries government that makes dispositive decisions on spending, then I am seeding the fields of future primary contests to get better Republicans in Washington who will actually tackle these deficits and debts.
Well, you know, he's somebody who takes it seriously. And, you know, the reporter, is it John Carl? Is that who that was?
I have no idea. Yeah. Some loser probably.
they're like, well, I can't believe you're doing this. Because they just expect it to continue like it always has. And spend. How many times have we talked about the fact that Democrats are approaching the cliff at light speed? Republicans are happy to do it at the speed limit. The destination is the same. And yet, this is so funny because there was a Democrat caught on camera trying to slow down the vote on the floor by pulling the fire alarm. Now, check this out, because his explanation is he was looking for something that would open the door because he was trying to get there faster. That's his explanation. I'm not making this up. But
big red thing that says fire alarm on
have
it?
Have you seen the picture? Because that picture doesn't show it. That picture shows kind of a side view of him reaching out for it. But when you go in there and you look at that hallway, I mean, the thing is like 2 feet around, and it's bright red, and it says fire alarm on it. Right?
Like that.
Yeah. Like that. Yeah. I mean, that does not open the door.
No, I mean, that's a pretty pathetic excuse. This was just a little clip of while the alarm was going off. Everyone's favorite sound in the world.
That's the same alarm we have in this building. Yeah. I hate it. Whenever they test the fire alarms, I try and be out of the building.
At least they warn us ahead of time.
And then you got Rosa DeLauro, who is a congresswoman from Connecticut. How long has she been in the House? She was a congressperson from Connecticut when I lived there 30 years ago, and I think she'd been there 30 years at that point. I mean, she's looking really ragged.
Yeah.
She says that the Republicans were hiding pay raises in the legislation, which is an out-and-out lie, L-I-E lie, because the 27th Amendment would make that unconstitutional. You can't give yourself a raise until there's an election.
Yeah, I don't know about that story at all and didn't have any chance to look it up, but I just looked up pictures of this lady. I've never seen her before.
Oh, yeah.
And I've said this to my wife and other people, but like one thing that I've learned getting older, you know how when you're a kid, you're told don't judge a book by its cover? That's like one of the things that you're told. Mm. That's just a lie. Judge a book by its cover. I mean, look at this lady. Like,
is that
on.
A true picture of her, what she looks like now? Yes. With the blue hair?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I mean, is there any way that you look at this person and you think this is a sane person that is like capable of leading anybody? No.
Yeah. Well, she's very
blue. I don't even have to know what she said. I don't even have to read the article. Yeah. I already know.
Well, she lied, and they continue to lie. And, you know, we don't like lying around here. We try and tell the truth every chance that we get. We also give out an award once in a while, the Midwest GI Full of Shit Award. And the first time ever, Kurt, we're going back to back because Chuck Schumer won it in our last episode, and Chuck Schumer is going to win it in this episode.
All right, here we go.
You're full of shit.
All right, thank you.
Now, go to shush.
You are speaking shit to me.
You full of shit. You understand that? You full of shit.
Oh, man, Chucky's going to get it all over him again as he cries crocodile tears for the late Senator Dianne Feinstein. Do we have his little speech
themselves.
There? Here we go.
The sign of a hero is someone who fights for others, who endures for others, no matter the cost, no matter the odds. And the sign of a friend is someone who stands by your side to fight the good fight on the good days and on the bad.
Yeah. Are you moved yet?
Dianne Feinstein was all of this and more. A friend, a hero for so many. A leader who changed the nature of the Senate, and who changed the fabric of the nation, America, for the better.
All right. So,
as the nation,
is he done?
No, he's not.
We're done.
Yeah,
I think we're done with this. But you see the crocodile tears going on there. And we put up a picture of Senator Feinstein the day that she died. And we've talked about her quite a bit with all the other geriatrics on the Hill, Republicans and Democrats. But what Chuck Schumer didn't mention there is that he spent the last year trying to get her the hell out of there. Right? They took her off her committee assignment. They were pushing her out the door in an unceremonious way. And then she dies, and he goes out there, and it's like, oh, my God, I've lost my best friend, and I don't know how I'm going to go on. So that's just completely full of shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously acting. You know, politics is Hollywood for ugly people.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's possible to separate the two things. You know, somebody dies, they've been in public office for a long time, you know, you want to make a tribute to them or whatever. And people have their own personal relationships, you know, famously, was it Scalia and Ruth Bader Ginsburg,
right,
that
absolutely
were like good friends and, you know, had barbecues all the time and stuff, despite being on very opposite sides of most of the issues.
But these two were Democrats. They were on the same side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just spent the last year trying to get rid of her.
Right.
Push
right
her out.
Right.
Maybe she should have made that decision on her own. You know, we could argue that. Was she effective for the people of California in the end? Probably not. But you
she's
know,
about as effective as Biden or Fetterman or any Mitch McConnell or any yeah of these other people.
Well, and you know, Fetterman's not even an old guy, but that's another story, and we'll get to him coming up here. The Full of Shit Award, of course, is presented by our good friend Dr. Mark Terramina at Midwest GI Health and Wellness, and they are there to help you. I mean, they give you the old colonoscopy, get screened, because colon cancer is a killer. But if you catch it early, they can treat it. And the old wives' tale used to be, you know, when you were 50, get your colonoscopy. But that line is coming down. And now it's like 45. And once they screen you, they don't find anything, you're good for like 10 years. And then they'll screen you again. These are great folks. Ask your doctor about Midwest GI Health and Wellness, and they'll tell you that's the place to go, and they'll get you referred so that you can go there. So start with your doctor. Tell them you'd like to go see our doctor, Mark Terramina, and his team at Midwest GI Health and Wellness. You can reach them on the phone at 816-836-2200. They are on the web at MidwestGIHealth.com. Fantastic, folks. They'll do the upper GI as well. A lot of focus is on the lower GI because that's where the colon cancer is. But like when I had some issues with just terrible acid reflux. Have you ever had that, Kurt?
Yeah.
That, you know, where you wake up in the middle of the night and it feels like you're like throwing up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just a terrible feeling. And I had an upper GI, and I've got a condition down there that's not something worth operating on at this point, but something that we manage with medication. So he can do both ends. And the good news is he'll clean the pipe before, like if he goes in the bottom end first, they'll clean it before they put it down the front.
Yeah, and it's actually like a real procedure. It's not just like a pipe cleaner shoved up your butt. They actually do the real deal.
By the way, you know, there's an opening in the Senate now, or at least there was, and Gavin Newsom, again, this is Identity Politics 101. What did he say he was going to do? He was going to appoint a black female to this seat. Can you imagine if a Republican governor said they were going to appoint any type of person, like, you know, I'm going to appoint an Asian man to this post. I'm going to appoint a black female. So the black female that Gavin Newsom will appoint is LaFonza Butler, is her name, LaFonza Butler.
Of course it is.
And she checks some other boxes too, right? She is the first black lesbian to serve in Congress and the first openly LGBTQ senator from the state of California. She's president of Emily's List. Is that some liberal group or something?
Know.
I have no idea.
It's like literally the second thing. I mean, this is the article from CNN. California Governor Gavin Newsom will appoint LaFonza Butler, the president of Emily's List, to fill the late Democratic Feinstein Senate seat, his office confirmed. So that's just stating, you know, her appointment. Then the next thing that they say, Butler will become the first lesbian black woman to join Congress in U.S. history, according to Newsom. She will also be the sole black female senator serving in Congress and the only the third in U.S. history. That's the first thing. It's like, do people not see this? Do people not see that this is just so dumb? It's like, is that all you are? That's all she is a black lesbian? That's the only thing that matters about her?
Yeah.
What's her policies? What's her background? You know, nobody cares.
And if you were going to do this, you should just appoint somebody, you know, and check the box in your own mind. Don't go out there and promote it. I hate this. And we've talked about, you know, like in the White House, they've got like a checkerboard square down there, and they're trying to fill it. It's almost like filling an all-in bingo card. And they want to make sure every box is checked. Well, here we go. We've checked this box now. It's just completely ridiculous.
Well, since you're eliminating meritocracy, you're not hiring the best people. You're right. Just hiring based on color. Which obviously makes you think that she's probably severely underqualified.
Right.
She probably sucks, and she's probably going to be a terrible senator because that's the first thing that they say about her. You know, it's like, okay, well, if you're gonna bring a senator in, tell us why. You know, but so yeah, of course, people are going to think she's not qualified, and she probably isn't.
I bet she's the best black female lesbian that they could find in the state of California.
In a day and a half?
Yeah.
They're just like
Kamala Harris was the best black female they could find outside of Michelle Obama or Oprah Winfrey to be vice president of the United States.
Yeah, well, Kamala's not a lesbian, at least as far as we know, you know.
As far as we know. Not that there would be anything wrong with that. everybody, whether you're straight or gay, black or white or Asian, you need a roof over your head. And the folks who can put a roof over your head that won't leak, Royal Roofing and Solar. 816-540-7057. Solar is in their name because if it's your forever home, and we've got all these rate changes coming from Evergy, and you know that's not going to be good for you. Independence Power and Light just said because of inflation, they're going up in rates 6%. You need a new roof on your house. And if you put solar on it, you can generate your own power. Let Austin and his team tell you about it. 816-540-7057. They've got tax credits and grants for small and rural business and ag producers as well. They're fantastic people, not fly-by-night. It's a family-owned company in Cass County. They've been around for a long time, and they are going to be around for a long time to come. They did the roof at my house. Let them do the roof at yours. 816-540-7057. Let's move on to the impeachment inquiry update. Republicans laying out the case while Democrats scream about the lack of a floor vote. And I wish the way they do these things, these hearings, it's like a Democrat gets 5 minutes to say something and then a Republican gets 5 minutes. Wouldn't you love to see it kind of a debate? And when the Democrats bring up, well, there was no floor vote. Well, hello, Nancy Pelosi didn't have a floor vote before they impeached Donald Trump the second time, did she? So she changed the rules. And once again, it happens every time, Kurt. The Democrats change the rule, and then when the Republicans do the exact same thing that the Democrats changed the rule to, they scream bloody murder. It happened with the Supreme Court. Supreme Court used to take 60 votes. Now it only takes 51. Well, guess who did that? The Democrats did that. Who took advantage of it? The Republicans, while the Democrats were screaming bloody murder. Well, they impeached Donald Trump without a floor vote on the inquiry, and so the inquiry moves forward on Joe Biden without a floor vote. That's just the way it is, right? And then you've got the $250,000 sent to Joe's house in care of Hunter. And I keep asking, there's a lot of smoke here, and the question no one has answered for me yet is how can a guy like Joe Biden, who has not had a real job in his entire life, not even a hot dog stand, he's never made more than $200,000 a year before becoming president of the United States. Never made more than 200 grand a year. Think about that. And then look at the millions of dollars he has in homes and stored away and all these LLCs and extensions to his grandkids. There's so much money flowing into this family for somebody who never had a job.
Yeah, and it's not just him. It's all of them. I mean, look at Pelosi. Her net worth is in the 100 million range, I believe, now. Due to investments and trading and all kinds of stuff like that. Even Feinstein, apparently, I just saw this morning, so I haven't really looked into it, but you know, she has all these properties. She has like $10 million homes, like three or four of them, that are, you know, now there's negotiating happening with her kids as to how that's going to be divvied up. It's like, how do you get those on a $150 or a $200,000 salary?
Yeah.
You know, how does that happen?
I'd like to know, because I didn't get there myself, and maybe if there was a shortcut, I'd like to know. Hillary Clinton, remember when she famously traded some futures in like livestock or something, and she made a whole boatload of money? And I don't know about Feinstein, but Nancy Pelosi's husband, I know he has he's a big time deal out in California. I mean, he's made a lot of money, but Jill Biden has not made any money. Joe Biden has never had a job. So where is all this money
coming
from?
Jill Biden is a doctor, so there's that.
Yeah, she's a teacher, right? Teachers don't
make
a lot of money.
Yeah, but she's a doctor.
Yeah, whatever. And then you got Menendez, and that must really scare the Democrats, because here's a guy from New Jersey, and he's got hundreds of thousands of dollars embedded into his clothes. He's got gold bars. He's got a Mercedes. And apparently it all came out of Egypt while he was chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. I mean, that smells a little bit, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, that's a little.
Just a little bit?
Some funny money.
And the Democrats are the ones calling for him to resign.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Do you think it's because he makes Joe Biden look bad by extension?
I think, honestly, it's like a sacrificial lamb and a distraction, you know, because they're trying to distract from everything that we have on Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, and just the terrible direction that things are going. So, and Democrats have done this before. There was another example a couple years ago, and I can't remember who it was, but they'll have somebody that gets caught on corruption, and it's kind of like a low-level guy, you know, a senator or a congressman, and they'll throw him under the bus, and they'll tell him to resign, and then every single, like clockwork, like they all got handed down the talking points at the same time. Every single liberal, you know, influencer and politician will come out on Twitter and be like, see, Democrats, we know how to hold our own accountable. And when, you know, when one of our people does something wrong, we know that they need to resign. Unlike those nasty Republicans, they keep, you know, hiding behind Donald Trump and all this. So it's a political play, I think, to a large degree. And a distraction to stay away from Biden.
Well, fun times for sure. We again want to thank our good friend Bob Watson. He sponsors our podcast, Blue Springs State Farm Agent, for 5 decades, 7th and Main in Blue Springs. When you see the funny commercials, know that there's a guy behind it, and his name is Bob Watson, and he's going to take care of you and your family. Auto, home, and life. He's licensed on both sides of State Line Road, Missouri and Kansas. He's got commercial insurance going there as well. They can even insure your pet, and trust me, taking baby Harry to the vet, it gets expensive, and you have health insurance for you. Might be time to get it for your animals too. 816-229-7878. Hopefully Bob's going to join us, and we'll see you October 17th at Funhouse Pizza there in Lee's Summit. Hey, before we leave you, Chuck Schumer, the winner of the Full of Shit Award twice in as many times that we've done the podcast, we could give it to him for this as well, because, you know, he saw Fetterman, and Fetterman wouldn't come on the floor because he was wearing his cargo shorts and his hoodie and all that and his ratty tennis shoes. So, you know, Schumer went up to the sergeant-at-arms of the Senate, and he went, wink, wink, nod, nod, let the guy come in, right? And Republicans started it. They were furious that the dress code had gone down so far in the Senate. And then guess what? Democrats, Manchin, Durbin in Illinois, you know, the Democrats were like, well, wait a minute. We don't want this going on. And are you showing the pictures there?
Yeah.
Go back to that one, because that's the one where he presided over the United States Senate. You know, they take turns sitting at the top of the rostrum there, and he presided over the U.S. Senate wearing that. It's kind of a dressy look for him. It's a dress bowling shirt, kind of some dress shorts, and he's got kind of a porn stash going there. Anything?
Yeah.
There
you
go.
Here, I'll find, see if there's a clip.
There you go. He's just take a little sip of water there. But that's what we want to see in the United States Senate. We want to see a guy in a bowling shirt and some shorts.
Mr. President.
With the porn stash. I like that.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, there you go. It's something finally that we can say Republicans and Democrats agree on, and that's that if you're a man, you ought to be wearing a suit and tie on the floor of the United States Senate.
Yeah.
They didn't touch women on this. They actually codified this. It was kind of a tradition before, but they codified it, and they said that men on the floor of the Senate have to be in jacket and tie. They didn't do anything on women, because trust me, there is nothing they could have done that wouldn't have gotten them killed.
Yeah. I mean, it's just basic decency. I mean, our institutions have fallen so far to not even be taken seriously to begin with. But that's the least that they could do is like dress respectfully. You know, I mean, it really does matter a lot if you think about it. You're going to show up to a job interview in a hoodie. You know, even here, I mean, our sales team, you know, they go out and meet with clients. They need to dress appropriately. They don't need to necessarily wear a suit, but they can't be, you know, in a hoodie or in pajamas or something like that. So, yeah, you got to dress the part.
I'm playing with my CJ Garten CD because the CD does the same thing the album does. It's got that, what do you call that, where it changes like that?
Hologram.
A little hologram going on right there. All right, check him out. CJ Garten, we're going to have links so that you can hear all of his fantastic music. Glad to have him on the podcast today. And until next week, my friends, this is Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.